Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Let's read it up to verse 12, but we're going to look at verse 3 today. This is word of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Without it, we're truly in dark, completely lost. But Father, your word shows us Jesus Christ, the true light. And in him, how we are in Christ. We thank you for your word. We ask that you will bless us through your word. We pray that your word will be preached correctly and understood by all of us correctly, so that we may meet Jesus Christ through your word and have heavenly fellowship with him as we hear your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven is being proclaimed by its king, our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapters 5 through 7, a concise version of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. We have seen last Sunday, last Lord's Day, that these chapters, they show us the pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also the pictures of our heavenly reality. Pictures of the citizens of heaven. These chapters say to us, the citizens of heaven are like this. The people who believe Jesus Christ, they are like this. As we have seen last Lord's Day, when we look at chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. It does not say, do your best to be the light of the world. It does not say, do these things so that you will be light of the world. It says, you are the light of the world. Jesus is in fact saying, I have already made you the light of the world. That is your present, spiritual, heavenly reality. This is who you are in me. Thus, if we want to know who we are, how we are because of the salvation that we have in Christ, we should pay careful attention to these verses that we are looking at together. You and I, we witness this reality through our faith. You must believe. Like I said, we don't try to be the light of the world. You must believe that you are the light of the world. It's by faith, not by works. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The new era has begun. It starts out with, blessed are the poor. Complete opposite from the Old Testament. The citizens of heaven are the poor in spirit. You who are in Christ are the poor in spirit. These are the blessed people. And their blessing is the kingdom of heaven. Not the earthly blessing, the common grace, but the special grace, the blessing that only the true Christians receive from God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The word blessed there, we could translate it as happy are the poor in spirit. They are the true happy people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. God Himself authenticates their blessedness. God Himself certifies, attests that the poor in spirit are the blessed one. Now you might have your own opinion of who are the happy people. You might have your own description of who are the happy people. But here God says, happy people are the poor in spirit. Something you will not hear in this world. It is God Himself certifies here that the poor in spirit are the blessed ones. The poor in spirit, the spiritual poverty. It is about how you look at yourself in the presence of God. How do you look at yourself? What is your understanding of how you are in the presence of God? The one who is poor in spirit looks at himself as someone who is spiritually poor. So poor that when he stands before God, there is nothing that he could show for, nothing that he could boast. If you're materially poor and you come to somebody, you're so poor that there's nothing to give, nothing to show for. We're talking about spiritual poverty. The one who is poor in spirit admits and acknowledges before God that he is nothing. He cannot do anything, that he is utterly not able. Spiritually, he is utterly not able to please God on his own power and strength. The one who is poor in spirit admits, confesses, and acknowledges that he is a sinner who truly deserves the eternal judgment of God. He believes that he deserves to be completely abandoned by God forever and ever. Remember, we are not talking about materialistic poverty. He believes, this poor in spirit believes that he is so poor spiritually that there is nothing that he could bring to God to please God. He believes that he is truly unworthy before God. Thus, he depends on God and God alone. He confesses that because of how he is, God has to do everything, and only God is able when it comes to the spiritual matters. He acknowledges God in everything and gives all the glory to God in everything. He seeks only God and desires only God and depends only on God. Psalm 40 verse 17, since I am afflicted and needy, or NIV translation, I am poor and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. The confession of someone who is poor in spirit. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, King James translation. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66, verse 2, for my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. To these people, the gospel of heaven is being proclaimed. Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. NIV translation of that same verse, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Jesus Christ came to preach the good news to the poor. The poor in spirit. Brothers and sisters, there is no boasting in Christianity. Only boasting for us is Jesus Christ and all that he has done and accomplished. Period. See, this is completely opposite of the world. The world acknowledges the self-confident. The world loves the ones who believe in themselves. The ones who are able to accomplish things with their own power and might. The world loves these people. In the world, you must show that you are able. Imagine a job interview. Can you imagine that you go to a job interview and things that you say will be, I'm not able. I'm not worthy. I can't. Can you imagine that kind of job interview in the world? The world rejects these people. In the world, you must show that you are able, that you are worthy. You must show how good you are. Otherwise, they reject you. You must show your connection with the good things of this world. The nationality. The what family, famous family you are from. What school you have graduated from. What kind of job you have. How much you make. How much you have. How smart you are. How much good things you do in this world. That's the world. It's all about boasting about yourself. How good you are. How able you are. That's the world. The tragedy is that these things came into the church. Even in church, people boast about themselves. They really feel they're somebody because they go to some school, or they are from some family, or because they have certain jobs, or because how much they make. As if Christianity is all about those things. As if God's blessing is all about those things. Even in church, they boast about themselves, their sons, their daughters, their moms, their fathers, their son-in-laws, their daughter-in-laws, on and on. But all is actually boasting about themselves. Because of all those things they boast, they're saying, look at them, see, they're something, they're somebody. Yeah, sometimes when you meet somebody for the first time, a Christian, they tell us all these stories about what they have done, what they have accomplished in other churches that they went. I guess that's what you have to do. You have to boast about yourself so that even church can look at you and say, thank God, able person is here. God has blessed our church with this able person. Not at Christ and heaven. We see that kind of people and we say, man, it will take 10 years to change this guy. Brothers and sisters, you're not important to us because of who you are in the world and what kind of job or what kind of school you went to. You are important to us because you are God's sons. Because you are poor in spirit. Because you know that you are nothing in the presence of God. You really think you are better than others? You have better job, you make more money because you are better than others? Don't you think that God has power to make you whatever He chose to be? Rather than thanking Him You are so proud of your accomplishments. The world will be always like that. But we're talking about the church. Some people believe that the church is the same as the world. That they believe that they need to show how able they are if they are to be acknowledged. Yeah, I always had so much problem with, even during the worship service, the students who went to Ivy League school, their names were announced to the whole church. But the people who went to City College, their names were never announced. As if that has anything to do with our religion. Brothers and sisters, let world be world, but you are not like that. You are poor in spirit. That is not the way of the kingdom of heaven. And you should never let your church do that kind of stuff. Rise up against it if this church does anything like that. This is not the place for that kind of stuff. You're feeling a little bit better than others because whatever you think you have or you could do. That's not mind of God. What can you really do apart from Christ? Go to Luke chapter 18. Let's read from verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves. So this parable was told to those people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Those who believe that they actually deserve God's blessings because they're so good, they are not the poor in spirit. They do not live like the citizens of heaven that the Bible shows. The citizens of heaven are truly humble. Not the fake humbleness that the world boasts about. The citizens of heaven truly believe that they did not do anything that would deserve God's blessing. The only thing that they have done truly deserve His judgment. Romans chapter 3 verse 17, Revelation chapter 3 verse 17. Because you say, Jesus says to some church, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Some people are just clueless. They think they're something. In Isaiah chapter 6, when God comes to Isaiah, this is what he says, Isaiah 6, 5. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined. People who are not poor in spirit will say, when they see God coming to him, they will say, oh, he's coming to reward me. Finally, he's coming to acknowledge me. But Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Go to Luke chapter 3. No, 5. Luke chapter 5. I read from verse 3. And Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Person who is poor in spirit, in the presence of God, they know how sinful they are. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. What Paul is saying is, if you want to boast about who you are in this world, well, I have a lot of things to say about myself too. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrew of Hebrew, as to the law, a Pharisee. In today's language, I am from this famous family. I graduated from this awesome school, and I have this kind of job, and I make this much. That's what it means. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. All the worldly boasting, whatever you boast about, even if you don't say with your lips, but that in your heart, whatever you think you're good to Paul, all are rubbish. All the worldly boasting about yourself, you should consider those all dumb. Isaiah 64 verse 6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. The righteous deed, the most righteous deed you think you ever done, is like a filthy rag to God. No matter how you wash it, how many times you wash it, it is still filthy rag. Brothers and sisters, understand, we're not saying you need to become poor in spirit. The Bible teaches that if you are a Christian, you are poor in spirit. Understand, brothers and sisters, all those boasting, all those things that you boast about, or you feel good about yourself, consider them as dumb. It's not something that you should consider as something important. If you believe that you are better than somebody, listen to these words. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And if you say, oh no, that is not me, then you are not poor in spirit. Simple as that. Then you are not poor in spirit. I want you to understand something here before we go on. The poor in spirit, these people cannot and do not believe in the salvation by works. How could they? If you are truly poor in spirit, how can you even think about salvation by works? Thus, true Armenians, not all, you know, Armenians, true Armenians, they are not poor in spirit. They cannot be. And to these poor in spirit, heaven is given to them. You already know there are two kingdoms, the worldly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. Heavenly kingdom is given to you, not the worldly kingdom. Heaven is given to you. Not just the reward from heaven, but the heaven itself is given to you. There you as kings will live with the true King Jesus Christ forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, you do not belong to this world. John chapter 15 verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Colossians 1 verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Revelation 22, verse 5b, they will reign forever and ever. The poor in spirit, brothers and sisters, it is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the poor in spirit. Not that he was a sinner, and not that he was not able, but he was completely humble. And he completely depended on his Father. He never did anything for himself, anything for his own glory. He depended on God. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. John chapter 4. Verse 34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Do you see your Lord Jesus Christ? He completely depends on his Father. He lived a truly humble life. And you are called to live his life, to participate in his life. Brothers and sisters, you are the poor in spirit. You confess that you are not able. And it's not just false humbleness. You know, some people fully know that they are able, and yet, you know, in appearance-wise, they always say, oh, I'm not able. That's a fake humbleness. That's a humbleness of this world. The true humbleness is this, that we are not able, period. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you believe it? Or do you still think you are able? We must stand before God humbly. This is the beginning of the life of a Christian, a life of heaven. the poor in spirit. We are nothing and we cannot do anything apart from God. All is God's grace. All is His work. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Again, don't understand this verse in terms of those fake humbleness of the world. Paul is stating the fact. He's not, you know, he's not doing this. It's not like he accomplished all this and he's so humble, he comes and says, no, I didn't do it. No, he's stating the truth, the fact. This is God's word. He really means it when he said, I did not do anything. See, so many people read that kind of verse and understand those verses in terms of worldly humbleness. No. James chapter 4, verse 6b, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Look, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, look at your heavenly reality. By the grace of God, you who are poor in spirit have come to God. Even right now as we worship God, you came. You who are poor in spirit. You who believe and understand that it is all God and His grace. The only thing that you truly, truly deserve is eternal punishment. But you come because of Christ and what He has done for you. You understand that you are nothing and you cannot do anything apart from Christ. Only by grace that you are like that. Because the worldly people will never be like that. They will never be poor in spirit. No. They hate those kind of people. Useless people. But God called you useless people of this world. He's going to shame the world through you. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. As you humble yourself, as you come with that poor in spirit heart, look at where God has raised you up to. Where are you right now? Spiritually, you have come to heaven. You are sitting at the right hand of God. As you humble yourself, just look at how high God has exalted you. He exalted you. Not to a position in good college or good job or good business, but to a position where God is. You're sitting with God in His throne in heavenly places. I see how God has exalted us. Look around. Where have you come? You who are poor in spirit, God says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And we say, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work in us. You have made us poor in spirit, that we are able, by your grace, to acknowledge, to confess, to admit they were nothing. They were not able to do anything. But Father, only thing we truly deserve is your eternal punishment. And yet, Father, we thank you. Even as you made us poor in spirit, you have also exalted us to a place where you are. Cause us to sit at your right hand with Christ as the kings of that glorious place. We reign with him forever and ever. O Father, it is you who made us poor in spirit, and it is you who exalted us to the place of glory. We give you all the glory. We thank you. And let us live our lives here on earth as your people who are poor in spirit. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.